Well, welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online as we're beginning a brand new message series titled Heroic Faith. Heroic Faith. I don't know about you, but if your experience is anything like mine, sometimes we wonder if we are going to make it. Hello? I mean, things just come at you, they pile up, and we can feel overwhelmed. For me, you know, there are the everyday things that come up. So there's time with God and in prayer and Bible reading, and then there's time with my wife Kathy as we are talking or exercising or we're visiting about our kids or our new puppy Daisy or things going on at the church, or we're comparing our schedules or we're making our plans. There's time with God, then time with Kathy, and then there's time doing the normal work of ministry. There's the sermon prep and providing leadership to the various teams and making phone calls, attending meetings, visiting and praying with and praying for people. So, you know, we all have our everyday things, and those things can pile up. And then there are the extra things that can come along, like, you know, weddings or funerals or maybe birthdays or anniversaries that we want to attend, or a person's in from out of town, or maybe there's a special project around the house, or those extra events that come up because of at work, or sometimes it's at the church. And, you know, these things can be meaningful and enjoyable if they are spread out across the calendar, across the schedule. But then there are often those unexpected things. And those are often the things that get us. Amen? A family or a friendship crisis, a community or a national tragedy, or a God thing that we didn't anticipate. And all of a sudden, we are feeling overwhelmed, and we have a sense of inadequacy, and we're at the end of our rope. And as for me, I suppose, as I thought about it, living through the experience of the Murrah bombing in Oklahoma City as a pastor and the aftermath of that was one thing that was overwhelming. And then the experience of the F5 tornado that went through Moore, Oklahoma, in 1999, about a mile south of our house and south of our church, and living through that and the devastation that many of our church people experienced, and living through that and the aftermath of that as a pastor was something. And then, of course, here in 2007, the ice storm in Tulsa and the aftermath of that, so many without power. I remember all over Midtown, no power, but our church had power. And so we were running a small hotel out of the church because we had power and people who didn't were here. And the aftermath of all of that, these were some of the most harrowing, unexpected crises that have turned up in my life. Now, I imagine all of us can think of times when the circumstances of life just seem to come crashing in around us, and we wonder if we're going to make it. Well, one of the things that my reading through the Bible over the years has shown me is this: many people in this scripture experienced great challenges of faith as well. People like Moses and Joseph, Esther and Ruth, they too had stuff happen, and at times they wondered if they could carry on, if they had the strength to make it. And yet, in the midst of their uncertainty and their struggles and fear, they developed what I call heroic faith. Heroic faith, the ability with God's help to thrive even in the most difficult of circumstances. Somehow they didn't give up. Somehow they didn't lose hope. Somehow instead they held on to their faith. They drew strength from their relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but I am always intrigued by that. I'm always amazed by that. And I wonder, what can we learn from people like that? And so that's what this series is about, learning from persons of heroic faith about how we too can hold on to our faith in the midst of difficulty. And I want to begin with one of the great pillars of the faith, heroic faith, Abraham. Abraham, his initial name, remember, was Abram, and early on his life was pointed in one direction, but then he had an encounter with God, and after that his life was pointed in a whole new direction. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever started out in one direction and then you were surprised by where you actually ended up? This can happen. Life is like that. So a first grade teacher had a lesson about that with her students. She had 25 students, and she presented each child in her class with the first half of a proverb, a saying, and she asked them to come up with the remainder of the saying. She thought she knew what they might say. Listen to what the first graders came up with. So the first one was, better to be safe than punch a fifth grader. Second one was, strike while the bug is close. Never underestimate the power of termites. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. You can't teach an old dog new math. If you lie down with the dogs, you'll stink in the morning. Love all, trust me. An idle mind is the best way to relax. Where there's smoke, there's pollution. A penny saved is not much. Two's company, three's the musketeers. Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you have to blow your nose. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. So there you have it. Sometimes, you know, you're going in one direction and are surprised by where you actually end up. It happens. It happened with that teacher. It happens with us. It happened with Abraham of old as well. Listen to what the writer of the Hebrews said about Abraham in Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though what? He did not know where he was going. Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but he obeyed the call of God and he ended up in the promised land, a place that eventually became his inheritance, a place that eventually he came to cherish. But at first, he was like a stranger in a foreign country. At first, the place probably didn't feel like home at all. Sometimes we start out in life going in one direction, and then things happen to change our course. Can you finish this line? In 1492, who sailed the ocean blue? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Yeah, Christopher Columbus, the Italian explorer who discovered the Americas. Columbus, remember, and his sailors, they set out to find a new trade route to India. And Columbus had started his voyage with one destination in mind, but his discovery of the Americas turned out to be a change in course, a detour in his plan, a detour that had enormous consequences for the rest of the known world. Sometimes, you know, we start life with one set of expectations, and what actually happens is different. As a kid, I can remember when my grandfather would talk about his parents, would have been my great-grandparents, who came to America from, and he would talk about it from the old country. He said, when my parents came to America, they came from the old country. For them, that was Eastern Europe, to seek a better life. for themselves in America, and they embarked for the new world, oftentimes afraid and a bit alone, and yet they were drawn by the promises of America's growing cities and legendary wilderness. They had an idea of where their ship of fate would take them, but often their experience turned out different than their expectations. Think about this. Our Christian ancestors identified with Abraham. Like Columbus, like so many early immigrants to America, Abraham as well, he left home with an idea of what he thought the journey would bring, but he found that things were different than he expected. His new world was nothing like anything that he had known. So in Hebrews 11:9, we read, "By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise." Our Christian forefathers and foremothers identified with Abraham because they saw in him some of their own stories. They too leaving the old country, a long journey, adventure, sometimes homesickness, insecurity, even death, and yet a God who could be trusted and experienced, even when their destination often turned out to be different than they imagined. In Abraham's story, they saw what we were singing about earlier, God's faithfulness. They saw God's faithfulness in his story, and they hung on to that. God will be faithful. Like Abraham, they learned that with God's help, they could survive their circumstances. They could make it. And as they continued to trust God, they learned, hey, we can actually thrive in these circumstances, in our walk with this living God. So here's a question. Has that been your story? Have there been times when you started out in one direction and things turned out different? It can happen in our careers. How many of us have started out in one direction and then things turned out differently in our careers? Things turned out differently in our work life? Or what about marriage? I remember thinking as a newlywed, this is just always going to be wonderful and special because we are so in love with each other. But over time, it was different than I imagined. There was much more work and sacrifice and effort involved in building this love and marriage relationship. How about parenting? Marriage or parenting? My idea, I imagine boys. I grew up in a family, 3 girls, 3 boys. I said, man, we're going to be raising some boys. Had 3 girls. I suppose I just didn't have the guts to keep trying. I don't know. My idea included boys. We had girls. We all have these experiences where we started out a journey, we had one idea in mind, and then things were different than we thought. And yet, we, like those who've gone before us, can know a God who loves us. Amen? We can know a God who cares for us. We can know a God who will see us through the ups and downs, the twists and turns, the joys as well as the surprises of everyday life. And how does it happen? It happens when we come into a personal relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Abraham, remember, was walking by faith. He was holding on to God's promise in Genesis 12:2. Remember, God came to him and he said, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you, and through you and your descendants, all people on earth are going to be blessed. And in the fullness of time, the scripture says God sent his only Son, Jesus, into the world that all persons might experience forgiveness of sins and the promise of new life with God. Now, Abraham, he was looking forward by faith toward that which we experience ourselves through faith in Jesus. And it's this personal relationship that we have that enables us to navigate the various circumstances that come our way. We have hope. We can find encouragement. We experience peace through our faith in Jesus. Even when we start out in one direction and things turn out different than we thought. Because the truth is, we often experience divine detours. Divine detours. So we encounter uncharted waters in life. There are times, you know, when we don't have it all figured out and we wonder what's going on. Our life takes a detour and we experience change and we didn't expect it. But then, over time, we realize that that change turned out to be the work of God. That experience was a divine detour. You ever had any divine detours? God often leads and guides us through divine detours. Our life is going in one direction, and then there's this fork in the road and a decision point, and we decide, and over time we realize, as we look back, we realize, you know what? That was a divine detour. God's plan was in that decision. So what have been the divine detours in our lives? For me, the decision, a couple of them have been, you know, the decision to go to college here at ORU in Tulsa was a divine detour in my life. I hadn't planned on that. I was really going to go to the University of Kansas with so many of my friends. The decision to go into ministry turned out to be a divine detour in my life. I hadn't planned on that. I was going to get a degree in business and I was going to make a lot of money. Answering the call of God to come to Christ Church in Tulsa was a divine detour in my life. I had planted a new church in Oklahoma City and things had gone well. I thought, you know, I may stay here for the rest of my ministry. And looking back at all three of those decision points, I can see the hand of God. Each one of them was a divine detour. Now, here's a question. Are divine detours always easy? And the answer is no. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if this is a divine detour, I mean, it's got to be easy. Things are going to have to just work out amazingly. Well, that's not the story of the scriptures, you know, when you read it, that things just always work out exactly as somebody anticipated. That's not the way life is either. Divine detours are often not easy, but we can rejoice even in the difficulty because we know this: God is with us. God is with us. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul celebrates the divine hand of God working in the midst of some difficult circumstances. In Romans 8:28, Paul says this: "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now that verse I find helpful when I am struggling or upset about some aspect of my life. It helps me, that verse, to keep looking up when I am tempted to fall down. It reminds me that God has a larger purpose that is working in my life, though I often don't see it or understand it. And like Abraham of old, or like my ancestors, or like other believers who have been on the journey too, there is always a cause for hope. There is always a reason to hang on. There is always work that God is doing on our behalf. I have learned I just have to trust him. I just have to stay close to him. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Here's what I have found. You know how it really works? We love God because he first loved us. It's the love of God that I just can't get away from, that I just can't hardly fathom either. From the first time that I said yes to Christ until now, I have not been able to get away from that idea that God, the God of the universe, loves me. That just does it for me. That just keeps me coming back to the well of the things of God. Even when we experience divine detours, even when things are happening and we don't understand everything that's going on, our love relationship with Jesus Christ sustains us. He is our source of hope and love and grace. So yesterday, we sat down with Jenny and Todd, our oldest daughter, and we said, goodbye. You're headed back to Australia soon, and we're not going to see you probably for at least a year, and it may be longer than that. And that, as a parent, you know, is not always an easy thing to talk about. But what I felt compelled to say to them, because I just know that when they're away or when we're away from them, the thing that sustains us, I said, here's what I would say to both of you. As you continue to both grow in your love toward God, each of you individually, it will help you as you're growing in your life together, in your marriage. And if that is happening well, then whatever the storms are, or whenever you're feeling like, man, things are so far away, he will be the one who will sustain you. Jesus Christ is the one we take wherever we are, wherever we go. He is our source of hope and love and grace. And Paul reminds us how tight that love bond with Jesus is in Romans 8:35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then he answers this question with a resounding what? No! In all of these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. It is love that does it. It is God's love that gives us the strength to endure any hardship. Nothing tops God's love for us. Nothing will ever be able to celebrate our love for him either. That's what does it. That's what gives us the spiritual armor to take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and to face any difficulty. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. No matter the circumstances, no matter what the detour, no matter the uncharted water, we are more than conquerors because God's love has what? It's been poured out upon us through our faith in Christ. More than conquerors, more than survivors. We thrive through our faith in him. Do you take encouragement from that? I do. Do you find hope that rises in your soul because of that? I do, because of God's love for you. Know that he is committed to your cause, and he will blend together the bitter and the sweet of your life to create something that will not only strengthen your soul, but keep you going as he accomplishes his purpose through you. And remember who's writing here. Paul is not writing these powerful words about our ability to thrive from an ivory tower. He's in a prison cell, contemplating his own experiences. He had no easy life. He was imprisoned many times. Remember, he was flogged. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was given the infamous 39 Roman lashes. Everything imaginable. And how does he describe it? In 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9, he says it this way: we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. More than surviving. Talk about spiritual thriving. The truth is, God doesn't want us to just survive in this life journey. He wants to see us thriving through it. He wants to see us experiencing victory through Him. And can we do it? Yes. Yes, we can. Is it always easy? No. No, there are going to be hardships and difficulties and times of despair. But we have the love of God, His forgiveness, His promises, His presence, His power with us. Remember this, and Abraham learned this. With God's presence and power, we can thrive. God will help us to be more than survivors. As we trust in Him, as we place our faith in Him, as we take Him at His word, He says this, I am with you and I will always be with you, never leave you nor forsake you. He will go with you through difficulty. He will see you through the storms. That's great news. Amen. So let's pray. Let's pray about it. Let's let God speak to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, almighty Master, loving Lord, we all know what it means to move through uncharted waters. There are many uncertainties in our world. And at no time in recent history, there are these pressures and circumstances and difficulties and fears. And sometimes we don't think we can make it. And we're tempted to give up or we're tempted to give in. But we know, Lord, that You are our source, that You want to help us find a way. And we thank You that we have spiritual ancestors, people like Abraham who walked by faith with You, and perhaps our own blood ancestors who many had their own spiritual journeys of faith with You, or others who helped show us the way. Lord, we don't want to just be survivors in this world, just barely hanging on, not sure if we're even going to make it. Lord, we want to be more than survivors, more than conquerors. We want to be victorious in the Christian life, and we know that our faith, our personal relationship with You is so key. Lord, help us to trust You even when we don't exactly know where we are going or how we're going to get there. There's actually something exciting about that, Lord. There's always new life. There's always adventure with You. That's what Abraham discovered. And that's where we want to be, and that's who we want to be. People who are walking boldly in faith with You. And so we pray in Your precious name. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.